Second part of the second part. Question 83. Prayer. Article 4. Whether we ought to pray to God alone. It is written in Job 5:1, Call if there be any that will answer thee, and turn to some of the saints. Prayer is offered to a person in two ways. First, as to be fulfilled by him. Secondly, as to be obtained through him. On the first way, we offer prayer to God alone, since all our prayers ought to be directed to the acquisition of grace and glory, which God alone gives. According to Psalm 83, the Lord will give grace and glory. But in the second way, we pray to the saints, whether angels or men, not that God may through them know our petitions, but that our prayers may be effective through their prayers and merits. Hence it is written in Revelation 8:4, The smoke of the incense, the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. This is also clear from the very style employed by the Church in praying, since we beseech the Blessed Trinity to have mercy on us while we ask any of the saints to pray for us. First objection. It would seem that we ought to pray to God alone. Prayer is an act of religion, but God alone is to be worshipped by religion. Therefore, we should pray to God alone. Reply to the first objection. To him alone do we offer religious worship when praying, because by doing so we confess that he is the author of our goods, but not to those whom we call upon as our advocates in God's presence. Second objection. It is useless to pray to one who is ignorant of the prayer, but it belongs to God alone to know one's prayer, both because frequently prayer is uttered by an interior act which God alone knows, rather than by words, and again because, as St. Augustine says, the dead, even the saints, know not what the living, even their own children, are doing. Therefore we ought to pray to God alone. Reply to the second objection. The dead, if we consider their natural condition, do not know what takes place in this world, especially the interior movements of the heart. Nevertheless, according to St. Gregory, whatever it is fitting the blessed should know about what happens to us, even as regards the interior movements of the heart, is made known to them in the Word, and it is most becoming to their exalted position that they should know the petitions we make to them by word or thought, and consequently the petitions which we raise to them are known to them through divine manifestation. Third objection. If we pray to any of the saints, this is only because they are united to God. Now some yet living in this world, or even some who are in purgatory, are closely united to God by grace, and yet we do not pray to them. Therefore neither should we pray to the saints who are in paradise. Reply to the third objection. Those who are in this world, or in purgatory, do not yet enjoy the vision of the Word so as to be able to know what we think or say. Wherefore we do not seek their assistance by praying to them, but ask it of the living by speaking to them. Article 11. Whether the saints in heaven pray for us. It is written in 2 Maccabees 15:14, This is he that prayeth much for the people and for all the holy city, Jeremiah, the prophet of God. As St. Jerome says, the error of Vigilantius consisted in saying that while we live, we can pray one for another, but that after we are dead, none of our prayers for others can be heard, seeing that not even the martyrs' prayers are granted when they pray for their blood to be avenged. But this is absolutely false, because since prayers offered for others proceed from charity, the greater the charity of the saints in heaven, the more they pray for those on earth, since the latter can be helped by prayers. And the more closely they are united to God, the more are their prayers efficacious, for the divine order is such that lower beings receive an overflow of the excellence of the higher, even as the air receives the brightness of the sun. Wherefore it is said of Christ in Hebrews 7:25, going to God by his own power to make intercession for us. Hence St. Jerome says, if the apostles and martyrs while yet in the body and having to be solicitous for themselves can pray for others, how much more now that they have the crown of victory and triumph? First objection. It would seem that the saints in heaven do not pray for us. A man's action is more meritorious for himself than for others. But the saints in heaven do not merit for themselves, neither do they pray for themselves, since they are already established in blessedness. Neither, therefore, do they pray for us. Reply to the first objection. The saints in heaven, since they are blessed, have no lack of bliss save that of the body's glory, and for this they pray. But they pray for us who lack the ultimate perfection of bliss, and their prayers are efficacious in impetrating through their previous merits and through God's acceptance. Second objection. The saints conform their will to God perfectly so that they will only what God wills. Now what God wills is always fulfilled. Therefore it would be useless for the saints to pray for us. Reply to the second objection. The saints impetrate whatever God wishes to take place through their prayers, and they pray for that which they deem will be granted through their prayers according to God's will. Third objection. Just as the saints in heaven are above, so are those in purgatory, for they can no longer sin. Now those in purgatory do not pray for us. On the contrary, we pray for them. Therefore neither do the saints in heaven pray for us. Reply to the third objection. Those who are in purgatory, though they are above us on account of their impeccability, yet they are below us as to the pains which they suffer, and in this respect they are not in a condition to pray, but rather in a condition that requires us to pray for them. Fourth objection. If the saints in heaven pray for us, the prayers of the higher saints would be more efficacious, and so we ought not to implore the help of the lower saints' prayers, but only those of the higher saints. Reply to the fourth objection. It is God's will that inferior beings should be helped by all those that are above them. Wherefore we ought to pray not only to the higher, but also to the lower saints, else we should have to implore the mercy of God alone. Nevertheless, it happens sometimes that prayers addressed to a saint of lower degree are more efficacious, either because he is employed with greater devotion, or because God wishes to make known his sanctity. Fifth objection. The soul of Peter is not Peter. If, therefore, the souls of the saints pray for us, so long as they are separated from their bodies, we ought not to call upon Saint Peter, but on his soul, to pray for us. Yet the Church does the contrary. The saints, therefore, do not pray for us, at least before the resurrection. Reply to the fifth objection. It is because the saints while living merited to pray for us that we invoke them under the names by which they were known in this life, and by which they are better known to us, and also in order to indicate our belief in the resurrection, according to the saying of Exodus 3:6, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, etc.